Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
So there's a handful of stars in the league that are great players. We all know they're great. Giannis is great. Kawhi is great. LeBron's great. These are great players. James Harden's great. These are all-time players. They occasionally, doesn't happen often, have bad nights. It almost felt like it never happened in Michael Jordan's prime, Kobe's prime, LeBron's prime. But it happens. And when it happens, somebody needs to step up, or else you're not a championship team. This is why Milwaukee's not a championship team. Last night, Giannis had a bad night. He has about two a season. He had 13 points. So where is his Robin? Where is his number two to step up? Chris Middleton was awful. 4 of 16, 2 for 10, had a terrible night. This is why Milwaukee can't win the championship. Five times this year, LeBron has had what you would call an off night. In four of those five, Anthony Davis has scored 23, 27, 46, and 21. Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers has had three what you would call off nights. On those nights, Paul George had 25 against Portland, 25 against the Celtics, and 23 against the Heat. Last year in the playoffs, Giannis had a couple of rough nights against Toronto, the eventual champion. He struggled at times in that series. Oh, it was the series Chris Middleton disappeared. He had one game over 15 points. One game in the series. And in the one game he did score over 15, it was a blowout. So he wasn't needed. Folks, it matters. You're not winning a championship because in the playoffs, stars, even Michael Jordan, the greatest we've ever seen, go look at those games against Utah in the finals. He had several games against Utah, 12 games against Utah, I think it's 12. He had three or four stinkers. Players stepped up. Scottie Pippen stepped up. Chris Middleton this year. He's a good player. He did score 50 this year in a game. Well, let's see who it was against. Oh, the Wizards. Colin, that is unfair. He also had a 41-point game. Who is that against? The Wizards. Let me give you a team that won't be a playoff factor. The Wizards. Chris Middleton's had 20 big games this year. Most of them against teams that don't matter. Folks, look at the NBA standings right now. Google it. There's six awful teams in the East, two awful teams in the West. So a quarter of the league is awful. I would submit to you there's another eight teams that are really, really below average. Half this league is not very good. Chris Middleton won't face those teams or be needed in those games. He's going to be needed against the Heat or the Sixers maybe, or actually the Celtics, the Lakers, the Clippers. Those games you need him. He doesn't stack up. And by the way, Middleton, they signed him to a max deal. So this is not something that, well, you know, we'll fix this problem. As I've said before, we often look at the stars as who wins the championship. I've always made the argument, if it was just about the stars, then LeBron would win every year. Ask yourself right now in the NBA. Pick the top five teams. Who's the second best player? When Kevin Durant was on the Warriors, Steph Curry, the world's best shooter, was the second best player. Klay Thompson, the best two guard in the NBA, was the third best player. It's not just about your star. If it was just about your star, why isn't Giannis in the finals the last 4 years? Because they don't have a legit, big-time, dependable number two. When LeBron went to Miami, the second best player was Dwayne Wade, a first ballot Hall of Famer. The third best player was Chris Bosh, who averaged 25 with the Raptors, but nobody watched. This team doesn't have a second dependable player. And it's nothing against Chris Middleton. He's a good kid. He's a good player. But last night is the rare Giannis has an off night. Robin disappeared into the Batcave and didn't come out from under the covers. Doesn't work that way. LeBron struggles, AD's there. Kawhi struggles, Paul George is there. Giannis struggles, they lose. That's not a championship team. All right, let me shift to this. I am a believer, based on all of our childhoods, that certain people, I don't see this as a weakness. I certainly hope it's not, because this, I speak for myself here. Certain people are better with structure. I had a little bit of a chaotic childhood. Not terrible, not abusive, but a little bit of chaotic with divorces and stuff. I don't work well in chaos. I tend to be a creature of habit. I'm pretty good at building shows, and I don't like a lot of firework shows. I don't like a lot of high and lows. I'm better with consistency from me, from my staff. That's how I deal. That's how I work, okay? I think Odell Beckham's the same way. I've talked to Odell Beckham about this. He deals very well within structure. If chaos ensues, it's not his strength. That is not how he delivers. I do not see that as a weakness to Odell Beckham. That is a reality of Odell Beckham. And I think this is for a lot of young people. You can be vulnerable. As you get older, maybe it's easier to deal with chaos. When you're younger, teens and 20s, chaos can be really hard for certain people who thrive with structure. And again, I've talked to Odell about this. So there's a story today that Odell Beckham Jr. could be traded. I've said from the beginning, I don't think he fits in Cleveland. I don't think he fits. If you go look at Baker Mayfield's targets of Odell Beckham last year, Baker was awful. He felt he had to force the ball to him. He completed 55% of his throws when targeting Odell. Last in the NFL. 4 touchdowns, 7 picks. Passer rating of 69. Among the 30 quarterback receiver duos with 100-plus targets, last in 2 of the 3 categories. This doesn't work for Baker, and it doesn't work for Odell. If you look at the 2 times in Odell Beckham's career, he has thrived. At LSU, his senior, Zach Mettenberger, was a senior returning quarterback. He and Odell thrived. The coach was Les Miles, a veteran coach. So when he had a veteran coach, Les Miles, and an upper-class senior quarterback, Zach Mettenberger, Odell thrived. Then he goes to New York. He had 2 grown-ups. He had Tom Coughlin, 2 Super Bowls. Eli, 2 Super Bowls. This wasn't the old, tired Eli. This was a older, but not oldest Eli. He thrived for the first 2 years in New York. Then you had the Pat Shurmur McAdoo chaos. He eroded. Then he goes to Cleveland last year. A mess. Now Cleveland's got another new coach and another GM, and now an impulsive owner remains, and a quarterback in Baker that himself can be highly, highly chaotic. This is a bad fit. If you put Odell Beckham in Green Bay, structure, home run. Seattle, structure, home run. New England, structure, home run. Philadelphia, well-run structure. Odell Beckham is not AB. He's not Antonio Brown. He is coachable. He is in the right system, entirely dependable. He's proven to be, when structure is around, a very good teammate. Little needy for my taste, but, you know, I'm older. He's younger. It's a generational thing. This is not a player we should bail on. It is a player Cleveland should move off of. They do not have the requisite structure for a young man that needs it to flourish. It would be better for Cleveland to move him, get another pick, get another offensive lineman, allow Baker Mayfield to worry about Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Nick Chubb, and a better O-line, and the Browns will flourish. This is not a good or bad, you know, nobody's losing this deal. Cleveland doesn't need another star receiver. What Odell needs is structure. This should happen. I've been on it from the beginning. It's not a criticism of Odell Beckham Jr. It is a reality. LSU, he thrived with structure. Giants, first 2 years, he thrived with structure. When I say structure, do you think of the Cleveland Browns? Nah. Time to move on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I think topic selection is a big part of our show. I don't want to waste your time. We talk about stuff we think can happen. That is not to say my job is strictly about watching sports at night, coming in and telling you, here's what happened. Anybody can do that, but it is part of my job. I also hypothesize and theorize, but I do it about things that I think are possible. This one's not, and it's now gaining in momentum. Will the Niners make a play for Tom Brady? Oh, boy. That's not going to happen. Let's just stop for a second. Remember when Trevor Lawrence got beat by 14-0 LSU? And fanboys and bloggers and people who don't deserve a press pass started suggesting he's overrated. No, LSU beats 7 top 10 teams, has 25 NFL guys on the roster either now coming out or coming out this year and next year. They're loaded. It may be the best college team ever, and they were playing a home game basically in the championship game. LSU was a better football team. They would have beaten all three teams. They beat Oklahoma bad. They would have beaten Ohio State. They beat Clemson. They beat everybody. They beat Alabama. They beat everybody. Trevor Lawrence will be the number one pick. He's great. He's great. Okay, Jimmy Garoppolo, in his first full year as a starter, went 13-3, a number one seed, and got to the Super Bowl. And for three quarters of the Super Bowl, outplayed Patrick Mahomes. He did. Look it up. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a great fourth quarter. He wasn't awful, but he missed on a deep ball. Completes one pass. He, not Mahomes, is Super Bowl champ. Garoppolo's good. And there's a rule here. It was his, not only his first full year of starting. That's the ball, by the way, for the TV viewers. He missed. He missed it. It was open. Mostly. He missed it. Catches it. Thrown perfectly. He's the Super Bowl champ. You're not bailing on a 27-year-old Garoppolo for a 43-year-old Brady who's declining. Tom Brady's last pass of last year was a pick six. He's 43. He's declining. The other thing to remember is Jimmy Garoppolo, the further quarterbacks get away, the further removed they are from, say, a torn ACL, the better. Go look at Brady's year after his torn ACL. I remember it well. He was timid, didn't want to get hit. He was still Tom Brady, but not quite as effective, not quite as confident. Garoppolo was in his first full year off a torn ACL. He was able to put together numbers this year, 69% completion percentage, 102 passer rating in the best division in football, in the better conference of the two in the NFL, and he had multiple wide receivers hurt. His receivers are young to begin with. He missed both his offensive tackles for a stretch. He missed his dominating Pro Bowl fullback for a stretch. George Kittle got hurt for a stretch. Can you imagine if he wouldn't have suffered consequential injuries to the stars, all of them, on his offense? Take a deep breath. Garoppolo is the future. First full year as a starter. This is not happening. Brady is declining. The stories you choose to report are thrust into a news cycle. This one's not worth it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
We bring him on the show, and we always get an interesting response. He's the CEO of Big Baller Brand, LeVar Ball. He's always willing to answer the tough questions. We battle from time to time. The Big Baller Brand has relaunched. Everything now with that brand is sold exclusively at Big Baller Brand, Inc.com. Yes. You have had a very interesting last year. Some would suggest you have been humbled a tad. You had a business partner that wasn't ethical to you. Mm-hmm. You had Lonzo moved out of Los Angeles. Do you feel in the last year you're perhaps a better business person today because you've been humbled?
I've never been humbled. I'm not a humble guy. But a better business guy? Yes, I am. I'm going to evolve at whatever I do. So I figure in order for a business to be successful, you have to make some change. Regardless, I'm just glad it happened in the beginning. Sometimes you have to take some steps back to get shot forward.
That's fair.
And that's what I did.
Yeah, that's the story of basically every big company from Amazon to Netflix. There were step backs initially to step ahead. All right, so Lonzo goes to New Orleans. Now, he could have gone to places that just didn't work. This appears to be a pretty good fit. What does he tell you when you talk?
Well, me and Lonzo talk all the time, but the thing is here's a narrative where people want to say, well, it was too much pressure in L.A. He's getting away from his father. That's not the deal. The only thing changed in this situation, I'm always going to be his father. Ain't no pressure in playing no basketball. The coaching. If the coach believes in you and lets you play your style and you healthy, you're going to be very successful.
By the way, the Pelicans don't do a ton of set plays. No. It's an offense built for Lonzo.
He's been playing like that his whole life.
Okay. Did you feel abandoned? Did Lonzo feel a tad abandoned? Not just by the Lakers, but LeBron could have kept him there if he wanted to. Did you feel abandoned by LeBron?
No, he didn't feel abandoned by anything. And like I said, you just have to find, it's not the right player, it's the right coach. And sometimes you get in a situation where Lonzo was coming in as a rookie, and some people's philosophy is you have to get under a veteran's wing. Lonzo can't get under anybody's wing because he's always been a leader. So that's the thing. You got to let him lead. And if you have confidence in him leading, you're going to be successful with him.
What does he say about Zion?
He loves Zion, but Lonzo loves anybody. And what I mean by that, one of his things he's been doing ever since he's been a baby is he makes everybody better. That's his gift.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram played with the Lakers for a few years before Lonzo. You play one season with Lonzo, and now you're an all-star? There's a reason. Josh Hart loved playing with Lonzo. Zion can run, athletic. That's perfect for Lonzo. Run with me. Like I try to tell people, and they think it's a bully move, tell them how to coach Lonzo. Give him the ball. He's going to make the right decisions and just run. That's what's happening now.
Are you slightly bummed that you don't get to watch him in person night after night?
No, I'm not bummed. I mean, I get to see my sons all the time. I got three boys. Whether I see him on TV or in person, I've seen him a lot of years. Mm-hmm. So I'm never bummed on the fact that my boys are doing something that they truly enjoy, which is play basketball.
LaMelo is a son. He is a more gifted offensive player, I would argue, in terms of scoring than Lonzo. Is that a fair?
Well, I'm not going to say more gifted because all my boys can score the ball. It's just the mindset. Melo likes to score more than if Lonzo just went into scoring mode, he can score the heck out the ball. But his mind has always been, if I have a bunch of scores, I'm just going to keep everybody happy. Melo's like, man, if you guys like the rebound, have fun because I'm about to let this one go.
Okay. So he's a different kind of personality.
Right, definitely. And it's a mixture of Jello and Lonzo. Lonzo with the pass and Jello with the shooting. Jello hate the pass, but he love to shoot.
So with Lonzo, You wanted Lonzo to go to the Lakers. With LaMelo, is there a destination you want him to land in?
The destination that I want my son to land in is whichever coach is going to let him be free.
Because it used to be, I used to criticize you for this. You used to say, I just want them all playing together. And I said,
oh, I still do.
That is absurd.
It's going to happen.
It is not going to happen.
I guarantee. And when it do, I'll be back over here and let you know. I guarantee it happens, though.
Well, we're going to have that's okay.
That we'll trust and believe.
Well, I don't believe everything I hear.
You will soon.
But when you say the coaching matters with LaMelo, That sounds like LeVar, who has learned from what the NBA is all about, which is if the coach don't like
nothing, what the NBA is about. I'm not in the NBA. I ain't learned nothing from them.
You didn't learn that NBA coaching dictates success?
I ain't learned nothing. I ain't trying to learn nothing. Only thing I want to learn is how to be a billionaire.
Well, you know, you can be a millionaire first.
Nope. I said billionaire. I'm going to skip that. I like the B's.
When you look at the Lakers and Clippers, do you find yourself rooting for the Clippers now because the relationship wasn't ideal at the end with the Lakers?
Oh, no. I don't root for neither one of those teams. I know which the better team is, the Clippers. They got a few more dogs over there. But I don't hold no animosity towards anybody because I like wherever my sons is playing.
What did you make?
But I'm not like, oh, the Lakers got rid of my son. It's a business, and it's just like finding the right people. Who's to say we won't come back? LeBron went back to Cleveland.
How does your relationship with Magic Johnson? How is it today? Honestly,
I don't know. I haven't talked to him since Lonzo's left. And like I said before, I thought he was going to do some things that he didn't do.
That's right.
So now my relationship, I don't want a relationship with him. But it probably was not all your fault or whatever. But who's to say as time goes by, things change, and then all of a sudden, what if all my boys end up over there and he's still there and say, hey, let's go back and do this again. Change is good.
So I didn't know who you were 4 years ago.
Right.
And then you became kind of a national topic.
Right.
Do you think it's helped or hindered your sons?
Do I think it's helped. It's helped, but the narrative is it hurts. But here's the thing.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, what I mean by that is it helps because everybody knows about them and you have something to say about them. So you're going to know. So their names are going to be out there all the time.
That's right.
But then they could say it hurts them because it puts pressure on them and people have their opinions, which sometimes is good and sometimes is bad. And that's what they say. But like I said before, if you're going to comment on – what if nobody ever had an opinion about anything you said? Then who cares? It's just like your show right here.
I need opinions.
Exactly. If you don't have no opinions and everybody's like, you're not even going to have a show. And that's why sometimes people are going to be real good agreeing with you, and then sometimes you're going to have some negativity. They'll be like, man, that Colin, I don't know why he said that. It's your opinion. That's why people watch this show, to see what's going to be said next.
Do you ever feel regret that if people are harsh on Lonzo or perhaps Melo, it's because they don't like you?
Well, that's definitely. Yeah. You're going to get that.
And do you feel regret?
I don't feel no regret on that. I let people, you know, if that bothers my sons, the same for them. If they're too sensitive for that, this is not for you.
That's actually a very healthy opinion. That's a good answer.
Right.
You know, I've said this to young people. If the critics bother you, retire from radio TV.
Yeah, leave it alone.
Because this is like, if you want to be a politician, if you get 51% of the vote, you're wildly successful.
Exactly.
Going forward, do you think when I watch, if I said to you, the perfect next 5 years for LaVar Ball and his sons, what would it be for each?
The perfect scenario for me and my sons, I think the notion of being billionaires within 5 years and my sons all on the same team, changing the game of basketball, playing so fast that you've never seen it before.
What have you learned in 5 years? Because good business people evolve. What have you learned? Give me a mistake where you said, I'm not going to do that again.
Okay, a mistake that I've learned from is never to give one person to say they can do everything. They really can't do everything.
For your company?
Yes. Because stand in your lane, that's one of my phrases. But I think if you have five or six different people standing in their lane doing what they're supposed to do, it's more effective than one person trying to do, saying they can do everything and doing everything.
So Big Baller Brand's initial launch, you trusted one person
Exactly. And that's how we roll. And being not listening to many people, which is, that's just me. I'm a brash guy. I do my own thing and I do it my way. And sometimes you can take some things from other people to make it run a little smoother. And it's okay to listen.
I see you when you're on my show, you're argumentative, but you're fun, you're joyful, you smile a lot. When you went through that dark time where you had somebody that was not...
I never went through a dark time.
You did, the day you found out...
No, it didn't do anything. Like Lonzo was like, oh, I'm hurt, and he's like a second father. I was like, man, he can't be a second father because he ain't never took you to school. He ain't never took you to lunch. So don't say a second father thing. And it didn't stop us from doing anything. We were successful selling merch and doing our thing. My boys were all playing basketball. My wife is getting better. So I'm in a good spot. One little thing that didn't hurt me, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy did this to me.
Give me a prototype for LaMelo. All players have a player they remind you of. LaMelo in the current NBA, who would you say has a little LaMelo in his game?
I would say nobody, because I always say Melo's the new breed. And he's been groomed differently. So he's going to be a different character when
he's
about
six. How tall?
He's 6'8 now.
Oh,
I said he was going to be the tallest. Because, like, I kind of went like this. My dad has 10 brothers, 2 sisters. His youngest son, well, the youngest one of the family was 6'7". The youngest one in my family is 6'7". We have 5 boys and 2 girls. So I was like, my youngest one's going to be the tallest. And then Melo's pushing 6'8".
Wow. Where is he at? It's a new world we live in.
Yes.
I mean, you and I didn't grow up with Instagram.
Right.
So where is LaMelo focused? Lonzo's a very focused basketball player. I always felt basketball was first.
Right.
Is LaMelo focused? What about these? I hear that he loves Instagram and he loves all this social media stuff. There's limitations to that. That can be hurtful as well as helpful.
Uh-huh.
Is his head right?
His head is always right because basketball is their first love. And like I said, who's to say you can't do other things? Like being on there, when that boy get on that court, he ready to play. He's not worried about no Instagram and how many people following him and all this stuff. He want to play to win. And that's what all my boys are. They got that talent in them and that hard work ethic.
I don't want this to land wrong. Your sons are very athletic. You were just a
Sure, I'm as athletic as they come, better than the most
really.
Athletic. No, you ain't seen me in my heyday, man.
What was your heyday?
My heyday, let me tell you this.
I want to, where's the tape?
I'm the only one that can't play no football in college and go make a practice squad in the NFL. Why? Because I'm 270 and run a 4.5 with ease.
Not now.
No, I'm just talking about, I had a 50-inch vertical.
Now,
I bench press 500 pounds.
That's not documented.
But I'm talking about, that's athletic as you're going to get. I can play any sport, from baseball to football, diving, track, flip-flop, gymnastics, anything.
These feel like embellishments.
It ain't no embellishments. You ask the people, well, you can't ask them in the hood because they're probably all gone now. But anyways, I'm the one who need to know that. I'm just telling you, I'm that bad. Look at my boys.
I know them.
I'm showing you how much was oozing out of me.
Okay.
Who else going to have two or three kids in the top of the NBA?
Doesn't Lonzo miss Los Angeles, a basketball city, New Orleans,
no,
a football city?
You don't miss no football. All you do is get on the court. You don't miss nothing if you're on the court.
He doesn't miss Los Angeles.
No.
A little?
You know, not even a lot. A little bit. Nobody. I taught my boys don't miss nothing. Especially if you love family and you love basketball, you can do that anywhere.
That's fair enough. All right, you got new merch out.
Yes.
New merch. It's very
good
nice.
Quality.
Long. By the way, I live on the beach, so I need long sweatshirts because it gets cool in the winter.
Yeah, there you go. Got you a nice little olive color. Make your eyes stand out a little bit.
Yeah, I need that.
See?
All right, it's good seeing you.
Yes, great.
Appreciate you coming by.
Hey, Colin, keep doing your thing, man. I ain't seen you in a while. I'm glad you look a little uppity now, man. What's
the deal? Uppity? What is
uppity? Means something else. It's got a different aura about you. You're feeling good about something.
Very sophisticated. I'm aging very well.
Yeah,
you know what
it is? I'm
going to
say.
Joy is just a beacon of enlightenment, and it makes everybody very happy.
That might be the choice right there. There you go, Joy. You do your thing.
I love
you got
art.
The right
Thank
name.
You for mine, too, by the
hey,
way.
There you go.
I love it.
BigBallerBrandInc.com. It's good seeing you.
Great seeing you guys.
Good luck to your family.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
What is up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast, back from the NFL Combine. Big, big, big show today. Super Bowl champion Andy Reid on the podcast discussing everything. The Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes, what it's like being a champion. Is he getting free barbecue in Kansas City? We talk about it all. Again, Andy Reid on the podcast, 3 and Out. John Middlecoff, go subscribe.
Former NFL defensive back, second-round pick, then a scout, helped build the Seahawks and the Panthers. Bucky Brooks at the Combine, Fox Sports NFL analyst, now with the NFL Network as well. All right, so we were talking about Isaiah Simmons, and I said there is a Zion quality where everybody was asking, you know, what do we do with Zion? He's not a 4, he's like a 3, he can't shoot. And my thing is sometimes you get a tour de force athletically. Nobody else looks like him, can run like him, is strong. You figure it out. That's why it's called coaching. It's just that's how Alex Smith was really good with Andy Reid and not as good with Mike Singletary. It's called coaching. So when you were at the Combine, Simmons is the most impressive athlete. What are they saying?
So it's a divide. Everyone respects the talent, the athleticism. He's explosive. He's everything that you look for in a prospect and from an athletic standpoint. The scouts are like you. Hey, man, just take him and figure it out.
Yeah.
We're just going to draft him and just figure it out.
That's right.
And the coach is like, oh, we have to figure out where he goes. What position group is he going to work with? Who is he going to go with for individual? Who is he going to meet with? Who is going to have ownership over Isaiah Simmons? And so I'm leaning back on my own experience because we took Thomas Davis when Thomas Davis came out of Georgia. Thomas Davis was a freakish athlete, was big, fast, and physical. And we did the same thing. Hey, let's just draft him. We're going to figure it out. And the first year we got him, we put him at safety, and he didn't know what he was doing because he had never played safety. So then year two, we put him at linebacker. Year three, it comes on, and then away he goes. But even though they have special talents, you have to have a plan. The plan has to be articulated. You have to know exactly what you're going to do with him when he walks in the door. If you don't have a coaching staff that's comfortable dealing with these hybrids, it's going to fail miserably. And I'm only going to bring up two names. I'm going to bring up Hassan Reddick, who came out of Temple, who was kind of viewed as a move-around chess piece, and no one knew what to do. And then I'm going to bring up Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah Fitzpatrick's frustrations in Miami because they moved him around, and he just couldn't settle in. Sometimes it looks nice to have a guy that can do a bunch of different things, but it's also better to have a master's in one particular position.
By the way, Minkah Fitzpatrick's a playmaker. Simmons is a playmaker. And the Giants don't have any of those.
No, they don't. They don't have any. They don't have any playmakers. But remember, Minka really settled in and was kind of like that defensive player of the year candidate when he goes to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh put him at free safety and left him in the post. They didn't ask him to do a bunch of that
stuff. So the better staff figured it out.
They figured it out. They put him in one spot. However, I will say this is what's happening. There's a bit of recency bias. When we mess up recently, the next guy that's similar, they benefit. Derwin James. Everyone is mad because they didn't take Derwin James early. Derwin James has been what you call a tour de force all over the place.
Chargers' best athlete.
Best athlete. And because he wasn't selected early, the next guy, like Isaiah Simmons, who shows similar qualities, everybody's in love with because they envision him being Derwin James at the next level.
All right. So I'm just going to give you a quarterback, and you tell me, as a former scout, you give me the comp. Okay. Tua.
Tua is a left-handed version of Drew Brees.
We totally agree.
Yeah.
We totally agree. Joe Burrow.
At his best, he's Tony Romo.
We totally agree. Justin Herbert.
This is a hard one. It's a hard one because he's so tall. So with the comps, you have to kind of match the thing. So I'm going to say Joe Flacco, but I think he will be a better player than Joe Flacco. And that's acknowledging that Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
So you think Herbert's underrated?
For sure underrated. Yeah, underrated. He was the best one throwing it at the combine, and no one talks about it. He was absolutely outstanding, throwing the ball, doing all the stuff that you want to see. The athleticism was off the charts. We saw the last two games when Mario Cristobal finally unleashed him.
Finally.
We saw a different player. And part of the reason why he didn't unleash him earlier, they didn't have a backup behind him. So he couldn't expose him to unnecessary hits and let him fully utilize all of his skills.
Who's the best player at the Senior Bowl? Justin Herbert. Who was the best player in the Rose Bowl? Justin Herbert. Who threw the ball best at the combine? Justin Herbert. I got your buddy Daniel Jeremiah has him. You know, what round is he plummeted to?
Plummeted. Look, it's just the Pat Mahomes things has everyone looking for the next.
Okay.
So because Jordan Love has exhibited some of those qualities, the comps are coming in that he is the next one. And when you really evaluate quarterbacks, Ron Wolf used to say this, look at the entire body of work. So last year, everyone is caught up in 20-17, touchdown to interception ratio. How did it fall apart? Lost nine starters, different coaching staff, played differently. He admittedly had a conversation when he said, I tried to do too much. However, the previous year.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So people are giving him the benefit of the doubt. And so they're saying he could, in the right situation, right coaching staff, maybe he has some of that Pat Mahomes feel. Because Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech, I go back and I looked at my notes when I talked to scouts. They're like, man, he's great. Sandlot player. He has terrific arm strength or whatever. But I don't know. We've never seen anybody like this figure it out. So because Pat Mahomes was able to figure it out under Andy Reid, there are more coaches that believe they can help Jordan Love figure it out at the next level.
Okay, I'll give you one more quarterback. And so you and I see Tua as left-handed Breeze. I see Burrow as Tony Romo. And I think Justin Herbert's underrated. I'll throw a guy out. And we have dismissed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would have dismissed him 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is Dak Prescott.
This is what we said in the morning meeting this morning.
Jalen Hurts is Dak Prescott. And I don't think a better athlete? No, I think they're about the same. I think people forget how dominant Dak Prescott was at Mississippi State. He was another version of Tim Tebow in terms of his ability to put the ball in the paint as a runner and a thrower. To his credit, he's become a much better passer than anyone envisioned. But I will say this. When Dak Prescott was coming out, I had a second-round grade on him, and I compared him to Steve McNair in terms of being a rugged quarterback. And Jalen Hurts, when you look at Jalen Hurts physically, he is built like Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Big lower body, strong, rugged, tough. When you talk about the quarterback position, we'll spend a lot of time talking about the physical qualities. But you're talking about a guy that had two blue-blood programs, Alabama and Oklahoma. He led them to the winner's circle, got them to the playoffs, made plays. People talk about his work ethic, his intangibles, his leadership skills, son of a coach. He checks off all of the boxes. And when you pay close attention to the way that he threw it at the combine, people were pleasantly surprised.
Yes, they were.
At the arm talent. This is a really good quarterback in the right system. He's a solid starter. And if he's surrounded by a guy where he's drafted lower to a good team, he will win a lot of games. Just like Dak Prescott is.
Okay, now time for disagreements.
Mm.
I don't. There's a reason the American Idol show gave you about 30 seconds to sing, because it doesn't take long to see great, and it doesn't take long to see stinks. Kyler Murray, first game pros, fourth quarter overtime against Detroit. Magic.
Mm-hmm.
As a one-year college starter, magic. It's like, all right, I came on the next day. I'm like, I'm in. There's something there. I'm in. With a bad O-line and a college coach. Dwayne Haskins had 7 starts.
Oh, man.
I didn't see anything I liked.
See, Joy, this is why you always come with receipts. So I came with some receipts for you on
receipts.
Dwayne Haskins. So Dwayne Haskins, everyone is beating Dwayne Haskins up like, oh, he didn't play well. I don't see the magic. Remember, Urban Meyer, I think he said to you, like, Dwayne Haskins is special. So the last 3 games, let's just judge him. He has 7 starts the last 3 games of the season.
Not good.
67% completion percentage. 8 yards per attempt. 5-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So everyone is quick to jump off the bus on Dwayne Haskins. But those last 3 games, were pretty good. Passer rating in the last 2 was well over 120. So before we cast him out, because remember, Jay Gruden had been fired. Bill Callahan had given it over. Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator. Do you know who the number 1 receiver was? Terry McLaurin, a rookie. You know who the running back was? Adrian Peterson. Who did he have playing in front of him? Trent Williams wasn't there. So before we jump in and say Dwayne Haskins is a flop, hold on. And I understand why everyone is doing it, because the optics. He will forever be kind of tagged with the millennial tag, because after they beat Detroit,
selfie
in the middle of the game, he goes and takes a selfie because he thinks the clock runs out. So that plays into some of the whispers that we heard prior to the draft. Work ethic. Does he want to be a star? Does he love it? So what he has to do, he just has to go to work. He has to go to work. First one in, last one out. If he does that, like I'm hearing he's trying to do in Washington, he'll be fine. Because when you look at the tape, you look at the tape of those last 2 games.
Oh, he's big, strong.
He makes big boy throws.
But my knock on him is you move him off his base, his accuracy plummets. He's got to be in a clean pocket.
Yeah, but look, the majority of quarterbacks, he's an old school quarterback. So, yes, right now, and I love the athletic quarterback. It is fun to watch.
Yeah.
We're seeing Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray and all those things. However, there's still a place for guys like Dwayne Haskins. It changes the way you have to build your team, meaning strong offensive line, terrific running game, play action passing game where you push the ball down the field. Make no mistake, coming out of Ohio State, remember, everyone is all in love with Joe Burrow. Who did Joe Burrow lose the job to? Dwayne Haskins. Let's understand what Dwayne Haskins is as a prospect and what he will be as a player in the right environment. He will be fine.
Okay, let's go to this one. So here's somebody you're not supportive of. Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm hearing these Brady's to the Niners, and I'm like, this is nonsense. You give that any credibility?
Well, I'm just saying, like so here's the situation. If we're saying it's a 2-year window for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, and we can say that based on the way the 49ers played in the playoffs, maybe Kyle Shanahan was working around the quarterback. End of the first half in the Super Bowl, 58 seconds left, you have a high-end quarterback, hey, you hand the ball to him, and away they go. I bet you if Kyle Shanahan had Tom Brady, he wouldn't run it 3 times, then eventually make a pass. He would trust Tom Brady to make plays. I just think maybe the trust factor would increase if he had a veteran quarterback who knew how to consistently get it.
You don't like Garoppolo.
I don't dislike him. I just think I know what he is. He's not a tier one quarterback. He's right there, like somewhere between 6 and 15.
Dak Prescott or Garoppolo?
I would take Dak Prescott over Garoppolo.
Okay, boy.
I would take Dak.
Wheels came off
that. Are you looking at Jimmy Garoppolo in the interceptions? Once a game, he's going to throw the ball to the other team. That is the surest way to lose games. That's what he does. Like, I will give Kyle Shanahan a tremendous amount of credit. The reason why they run the offense the way they run it with all the play action, it creates bigger windows. It's easier for Jimmy Garoppolo to see. He is not necessarily a timing and anticipation thrower. He has to see it and believe it before he lets it go.
Yeah, Dak.
It's different.
Dak had 2 fewer interceptions with a much better O-line and running game.
Oh, I think that O-line thing is a myth and a fallacy. And I've heard you, because I'm glad you brought up Dak Prescott, because you keep talking about
now we're going.
The Philadelphia game. The Philadelphia game when he played with a bad shoulder, when he's not supposed to play. That's why look, when you're hurt as a player, you get no benefit of the doubt. When you play, we judge you off of what you should be doing regardless of whether the injury is. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, with Dak Prescott.
Hurt. I have had laryngitis for 3 weeks. Oh, I'm still crushing these shows.
Oh, my gosh.
Bucky Brooks, good seeing you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, today is Super Tuesday. It looks like the Democrats are sort of rallying around Joe Biden. See, a lot of that's happening today. Bernie was in control, and now everybody's kind of pushing Biden. It's Super Tuesday. We're going to find out who's going to run against Trump here very, very soon, Joy. It's fascinating.
It's something.
It is.
Yeah.
we thought we'd come up. It's campaign slogans matter.
Right.
And we've got, this is a very unique year. In fact, I don't remember a year where you've got five or six top quarterbacks coming out of college. You have free agent quarterbacks, some stars available, and then you have some guys like a Tannehill, you can make a very simple trade. And so we thought each one deserves a campaign slogan on Super Tuesday. Each quarterback is a candidate. By the way, some will be vying for the same jobs. Tannehill and Jameis Winston could vie for our same job. So let's strike the music, Super Tuesday. Here we go. Tom Brady. Joey, remember the famous Obama Hope poster?
Yes.
We thought, Brady, we would do a GOAT poster.
It's very good, actually.
Yeah, because six Super Bowls, nobody's ever equaled that. So I think that fits to me.
Right, and Obama's the GOAT.
Yeah, there you go. How about Teddy Bridgewater? His slogan is, I may no longer be a saint, but I can be your savior.
It's a little lengthy, but
Teddy,
I like it.
It's Teddy Bridgewater for quarterback. For the record, Joy, you know what his record is in the NFL? 22-12. Like Bloomberg, he gets things done. How about Joe Burrow? He is roaring to get started.
Very good.
Bengals, number one pick.
I like it.
College player of the year. LSU Tigers to Cincinnati Bengals. Wordplay. It's very effective. And to your point, very succinct.
Yeah, strong.
Andy Dalton. His slogan, beige, is the color of 2020. Now, it's not overly dynamic. It's got a Mayor Pete feel to it. It kind of just stands there and doesn't make a lot of noise. But, you know, it does say stability.
Beige is a very neutral color.
Doesn't offend anybody.
It doesn't bother anyone.
Andy Dalton offends nobody except for my quarterback sensibilities.
Good.
How about Jordan Love, Utah State? His slogan, all you need is love in 2020. That is optimistic.
That is optimistic.
Do you know his 28?
You want to sell optimism.
I think, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
All you need is love. How about Cam Newton? His slogan, the man who wears many hats. I mean, you could say that. He could be good with our financing, foreign affairs. Or he's good for our farmers. He wears many hats.
And it's very accurate, too. You know, you want voters to feel like you're being authentic with them.
Nothing wrong with a president having a little style.
Yeah, he's got some swag.
How about Dak Prescott? You could do worse than 8-8.
Again, fully factual.
Not very aspirational.
It doesn't lend towards the optimistic, but it's just very... It's very matter of fact. Like, this is what it is. It's what you're going to get.
It almost feels negative. I like more optimistic. You could do no... I don't like the word worse in a campaign slogan.
True.
How about Tua? Healthcare is his top priority. Now, this is my kind of candidate.
Who doesn't love healthcare?
Yes. I mean, Tua is all about making everybody safe, including his hip. Our backup slogan to him was the hippest candidate available.
Yeah.
That was a little cheesy.
Too much wordplay.
A lot of wordplay. Ryan Tannehill, the comeback quarterback of your dreams. Hey, let's be honest. Isn't politics about reinventing yourself?
Do you really dream about coming back, though?
Well, that's probably why he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Finally, Jameis Winston, seeing things clearly in 2020. Yeah, he just got LASIK eye surgery.
I am interested to see how that helps, although we probably will not get the opportunity to
Doesn't
see.
Doesn't LASIK eye surgery mean you can see better from further away. It doesn't help reading a pharmaceutical bottle or something, right?
I thought it just fixes all of your eyesight, so no matter what your issue is.
Well, Jameis is having trouble seeing the safety 20 yards downfield.
Right.
On the throw out into the flat, he's fine.
But you're opposite, right? Like, you struggle with the stuff up close.
I've been confused my whole life on this. Nearsighted should mean I can't. What does nearsighted mean?
Can I preface this by asking, what did your father do for a living?
He was an optometrist.
Okay.
This is why my dad and I had issues. What does nearsighted mean?
It means that you see.
You can't see far away.
You can't see far away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
you see
that
better
be called farsighted?
There's many questions in
this,
the universe.
My dad wanted me to be an optometrist. And I said, until you people can get the nearsighted, farsighted thing down, I'm out of the industry.
I agree. It's very confusing.
I got to be honest.
Tom's is obviously the strongest.
Yeah, Tom
Brady. Not surprising.
Brady.
I also like Burrow's.
I like Bridgewater's.